हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Definitions of the Jiva and Paramatma. Page 16. It is said that Prajumna is the Antaryami of Brahma, Vishnu is the Antaryami of Manu, and Sankarsana is the Antaryami of Shiva. It is to be understood that, accepting various forms, the Lord, when he appears within the world, acts as the Antaryami of various jivas by his various expansions, amshas. That Sankarsana and the Purusha are the origin of Shiva is confirmed by scripture. Prakritim Atmana Sankarsana Samgyam. Shiva worships Sankarsana, his source. Srimad Bhagavatam 5, 17, 16.
You know, you say that Paramatma is one. I mean, all the Purusha avatars are Paramatmas in their own level.
Yes.
And then each and every living entity has the reflection of the original Paramatma?
No, it's not a reflection. It means he's actually there.
But there are not many Paramatmas.
No, there's only one Paramatma, but he's there everywhere.
So what...
You understand? Because he is... It's not a reflection, means he's actually there. But the point is it's the same personality. It's
why
not a different personality.
Why he's in a different capacities here? That's what I didn't
understand. Because you see, as Prajumna, then the Prajumna aspect then is the Antaryami of Brahma. So that also means Prajumna, that would mean Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Because he is the Brahma is creator, so there's the passion. Mm-hmm. And Prajumna is in charge of the intelligence and the senses. And so that's the creative element. Right? See, is that we have the two basic aspects that we're looking at. If we're just defining the three in the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, that the position of them and what they do, then you're going to have Sankarsan in Sambandha, Prajumna in Abhideya. Did I say?
Sankarsan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha in Prayojana.
Yeah, but I thought I said Sankarsan in Prajumna, and then Prajumna in Aniruddha. Okay, that's what I say. Wait a minute. Right? Because Sankarsan, then he establishes the field, he is the knowledge. You know, of this field, he is the relationships between everything, what's their natural position, the laws governing everything like that. Prajumna, then, being the Lord of the senses, he is the activities that can go on using that knowledge. Right? And using that knowledge, now you apply it. It's applied knowledge. And then that is what creates all the results and everything. Right? Then Aniruddha is the results. Right, so those three features together, when Krishna has his pastimes, all three are functioning together. In other words, for his pleasure, activities are being performed in the dham. Does that make sense? So, therefore, they all go together. So that's the actual practical application. Does that make sense? But if we're looking at it, from just, okay, you know, the aspect of the theoretical more things like that, then we can put Vasudeva as Abhideya, and Sankarsana will be another aspect of Sambandha. Right? Because then you're going to have, what is the position, what can you do And then Aniruddha is what results you can get. Right? Because that's all, it's all in the theory. So that's all would be your Sambandha Gyan. Right? Then you're going to apply it. Right? And that's going to be the Abhideya. Then you're going to get the result. You know, it means you have the physical result. That's what we've already described before. But now you're going to get Krishna's pleasure. So then we can put the four in that line like that. But the central point is the Abhideya, because does that make sense? So I guess when you're dealing with Sambit, why I bring this up is because in Chaitanya Charitamrita now and that, and we're looking at it, that the aspect of Sambit, Shaktis and all this and how everything's relating. So then the Sambit's going to be those activities performed by the devotees. Right, so Sandini is going to be the Dham. Then, and you know, the forms of the devotees and everything like that. Sambit's going to be the activities that those devotees perform. Right? And so to perform those activities means they have certain knowledge and everything, because we learned that the gopis, they know the 64 arts, but they're learning that. Or Krishna knows the 64 arts, he learns that. Right, so learning that's the Sankarshan aspect. Applying it, that's the Prajumna aspect. Or in this Abhideya aspect. Does that make sense? And then you're going to get a physical result, but it's not about the physical result. Right? We're used to it's the physical results, the main thing. But it's actually the pleasure of Krishna. Right, so depending upon which aspect you're bringing out, then you're going to define it in that way. Right? Because of Krishna's desire, that's why everything's created. So Ichashakti creates all the devotees, the dham, the pastimes, the interactions, the tastes, everything. Because that's what's there. That's where it comes from. But at the same time, is then all those devotees performing those activities and the arrangements for those activities, that's done by the Kriya. Right? And then the position of that, the attitude of that, the existence of that, that's going to be the jnana. Right? Does that make sense? So, depending on which you're bringing out, if you're bringing out Krishna's pleasure, that's the cause of everything. If you're bringing out the activities that they perform, then that will give results, and that is based in the position. Right, but then the position then also is then that's the basis of what everything is. So therefore, the forms of all devotees, the dham itself, you know, all the mechanics that can go on, everything in its existential state. Right, because then it has to be applied. You understand? So then you're going to get those three features. You're going to get the features of the existence of the things. Though, you see, the existence is all personal. But it's talking about the generic thing that the devotees have forms. The Dham has its form. Everything has its form. It has its existence. It has the mechanics by which they can function. Right? Then you're going to have those devotees then interacting as individuals to create wonderful situations for Krishna's enjoyment. Right? That'll be the Abhideya. That'll be the Sambit. Then it's going to be Krishna's pleasure. That's going to be the Hladini, or the Prayojan. Does this make sense? Because that's the thing. It's very subtle. In that, because we're used to, you know, one definition for one thing. Right? You know, I say, okay, this is an apple. Okay, that's cool. Then I bring a potato. This is also an apple. It's kind of like, what do you mean? Then I bring a strawberry. This is also an apple. Right? If you're French.
Everything is an apple.
Yeah. So three kinds of apples, right? You know. It's like here you have three kinds of kopis. You know, you have the kind of like the old copy, the Bada copy, and the full copy. They're all copies, but it means it's the cauliflower, the cabbage, and the I guess you just say all. I don't. I think in the, what do you call it? I learned the name the other day. What they call it in the West?
Brussels?
No, not Brussels. That's like small cabbages. These are they're round like this. They're green, kind of a little bit flattish, and the leaves come straight off the sides up like this, stalks like that. The leaves look like they're like spinach.
Oh yeah, I know that.
Kohlrabi.
Kohlrabi.
Yeah, kohlrabi. Like that. That's the third kind of kopi. Because they all have that same fragrance.
Yeah, right.
You know, technically broccoli would also be a kopi.
They just didn't know about it.
Yeah, it's just new, so they hasn't gotten a name. Otherwise, it'd probably be the Sobuj kopi or something. Who knows? So that's it. You have different features of the same thing. There's one principle, and then it has different features. Like there's Krishna's Sarup, and then it has Sat Chit and Ananda. And from that, then you have all these aspects in Sat, all these aspects in Chit, all these aspects in Ananda. Depending on what you're bringing out, then they'll be called Icha Kriya Jnana, Ladini Sambit Sandini, you know, internal, external, marginal. Does that make sense? Because all those things will have their positions there. Yeah? So that's why you'll have those flavors. Also, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, those features will be coming from that aspect. So from his Ananda, that would be the Bhagavan, because it's full opulence, is that full interaction. Paramatma, that'll be the controlling of it, arranging of it, the workings of it, you know, of Chit. You know, knowledge and that, how it's applied and all. Because you know about the Lord, what He does, know about the Jiva and everything. Then you also have then the Brahman aspect will be the existence, how everything is there, how everything's expanding. Yes. You know, you have the impersonal aspect of it, you have the personal aspect of it. Yes?
I was also thinking, according to this description, that Antaryami also defined with the worshipable object of whoever is a worshipper, like Shiva is Sankarsana, Brahma is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Mm. Yes. And in Brahma Samhita, it is mentioned that Paramatma appears as Tribhanga Shyama Sundar for the devotee who worship him in that form.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a connection.
That's very nice, very nice. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. So then, according to their worship. So Manu, see, why Manu? Because Vishnu, he's the maintainer. And that's what Manu does. He maintains like that.
That was my question. That was my question.
Okay, so you can see is that Brahma creates, therefore Prajumna. Manu maintains, therefore Vishnu. And Sankarshan, he destroys, therefore. I mean, Shiva destroys, therefore Sankarshan. Like that. So you have three features of the same thing. That's why they're thing points. They're non-different, but then there's a uniqueness. There's Visesha. Right, so that's why there's a particular the existence there. It's unique. So a different flavor. In the beginning, the Purusha appeared as Brahma through Rajaguna for creation, as Vishnu, the Lord of Sacrifice and protector of Dharma of the Brahmins for maintenance, and as Shiva through Tamagun for destruction. In this way, creation, maintenance, and destruction of the living entities takes place at all times. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.4.5. Yeah. So, Krishna, Lord of Sacrifice, Protector of Dharma of the Brahmins. That's maintenance. Because if that's in place, the Brahmins are in place, there's maintenance. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because then they follow Manu. Mm-hmm. Like that. And then, so they teach that, they train that, the Kshatriyas then they establish that everybody's properly following that. You know. That then you get maintenance. But otherwise, if you don't have Brahmins, who's following Manu? Therefore, there's no... as Hansaduta Maharaj would say, it's just a can of worms. you know, everything's just trying to get up on top of each other and this and that, and it's just always, it never gets anywhere. And like, you know, say the Mauritian frogs. You know? Is that, yeah? I don't remember, Mauritian frogs, the frogs in the box. Because how you say the you know, it's an understanding. It's just like, let's say someone was describing about living in, they were talking about the context of, I think it was in SA, you have that huge slum, Soweto.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe the biggest slum in the world or something like that. It's
bigger than Mumbai.
Well, if you want to count like that, then probably Calcutta would be the biggest slum in the world. 20 million people live in it, yeah. Depends on how you want to count it, yeah. So, and they were saying about theirs, they were saying, how come people can't get out? Because he says as soon as anybody makes a little bit of development, everybody else brings them down. They're so envious. Because everybody would like to get out, so if anybody is, they don't allow them to. You know? So that was, and then the same principle is used in the Mauritian frogs.
Indian crabs.
They're the same. They're all in a bucket and they won't let anyone else get out.
They don't even close the bucket when they catch the crabs. They just keep themselves. They don't even.
they won't climb up because each of the other will pull them off. It's the same. The Mauritian frogs are the same. Okay. So Indian crabs. Okay. Now we have a new one. Paramatma is also described as follows: Bhutatma Chandriyatma Cha Pradhanatma Tada Bhavan Atma Cha Paramatma Cha Tvam Eka Panchada Stitaha. You are situated in five ways: as the soul of the elements, as the soul of the senses, as the soul of Pradhan, as the Jiva, and as Paramatma. Vishnu Purana 5:18:50. Yes, so he makes everything work. Why do the elements work? Why do we feel that there's something there of value? You know, they're able to function. Things are created from them. There's potencies there. That's because Krishna is the Atma of that. And so then he's the Atma of the senses. That's why they work. He sees, therefore we're seeing. He smells, we're smelling. So he is seeing. And so we have a portion of that. Right? So therefore now our senses, you know, being, enlivened by super soul, then can be attracted to the material elements that are also enlivened by the, or pervaded by the super soul. Right, you know, and then Pradhan, why it's functioning, because all this is based on Pradhan. Then you have the Jiva and the Paramatma. Right? Thus, the Purusha as Antaryami of all beings is termed Paramatma. This is the meaning of Paramatma in Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti, Shabdyate. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:11. Commenting on the phrase Namastubhyam Bhagavate, Brahmane Paramatmani, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28:6. Sridhar Swami says, Paramatmane sarva jiva niyatre. Paramatma is the controller of all jivas. Saying that the Paramatma becomes Purusha by a covering of Maya is metaphorical only, for it is said in Vishnu Purana, I offer respects to the Supreme Lord, the first person worthy of worship, who has no end and no creation. He has no increase, since he is devoid of change, and who has no decrease, since he is unchanging. I offer respects to the Purusha, always unchanging, who follows behind the Lord, who possesses all six qualities and enjoys bliss, and though one has many forms, such as Brahma, who, though pure, appears to be impure, attached to this, his creation, who is filled with knowledge, and who distributes various qualities to all beings through various forms such as Daksha and Manu. Vishnu Purana 6:8:58-59. In Moksha Dharma is said, the Antaryami, who is subtle, unknown, invisible, immovable, fixed in form, and devoid of material elements, material senses and sense objects, is called the knower of the field, and the Purusha beyond the three gunas. Mahabharata 12:3-21, 28-29. Shrutis also describe the Antaryami as a pure being. The Lord alone has entered all beings. He is all-pervading. He is the Antaryami of all beings. He is the controller of karma. He is the basis of all beings. He is the witness and the giver of consciousness. He is the possessor of Shakti. He is beyond the gunas. Saita Sutara Upanishad 6:11. One unborn entity, satisfied, follows another unborn entity, a female entity who is red, white, and black, and produces many offspring of similar nature. Another male gives up this female who has been enjoyed. Svetasvatara Upanishad 4:5. Therefore, the two verses quoted at the beginning, starting with Kshetra Gya Eta Manaso Vibhutihi, spoken by the Brahmana to Rahugana, were correctly explained, showing two knowers of the field, Jiva and Paramatma. Right, so, yes. So it's just establishing that knowers of the field, there's the Jiva, there's Paramatma, and they're different. Right? One's the Supreme Lord, and one's the minute living entity. Right? Otherwise, then, that's another trick how the Mayavadis will try to say, the Kshetragya, so that means the Jiva and the Lord are one, so therefore we're the Lord. What if it's, take their philosophy, what if it's the other way? God's just another Jiva, right? And then and all your endeavor, you just become nothing different.
The New Age gurus try this approach.
Yeah, but they are God, but God's just an ordinary God.
The New Age gurus, they just don't speak about God.
They just don't.
He's a good human being, the one who has done good activities because of his qualities, his worship.
And is that why he rides around on a bicycle?
Okay.
Yes, part of the good qualities.
You look good, you stay fit. You look good, stay fit.
Yes, yes. No, how you say? No carbon footprint. Of course, what it took to make that bicycle, that's another thing. No one talks about that. You know, bicycle is okay. It doesn't matter what it's made of, what happened. Adhikarana 2. The three forms of appearance of the Paramatma, Purusha avatars, Anuchedas 2-7. Adhikarana Prakashika. Having differentiated between the Paramatma and the Jiva in the previous Adhikarana, next in the current Adhikarana, the different forms of appearance of the Paramatma are elaborated. The Lord provides shelter and guidance to the Jiva encaged in the material world at three levels. I.e., the sum totality of all universes, the individual universe, and the individual being. And thus, there are three forms of his appearance in order to perform these activities, which are called the Purusha avatars. In Anucheda 2, all the three Purushas appearance is described as follows. The wise know that the Purusha consists of three forms of the original Vishnu. The first is the creator of the Mahatattva. The second is situated within the universe. The third is situated within each living entity. Knowing these three, one becomes liberated. Narada Tantra. Then the appearance of the first Purusha, Mahavishnu, is further elaborated in the Anucheda. In Anucheda 2, and then in Anuchedas 3 and 4. Okay. Anucheda 2. And then in Anuchedas 3 and 4, the appearance of the second and third Purushas, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kiradakshaya Vishnu, is elaborated respectively. Next, in Anuchedas 5-7, the non-difference of various forms of the Paramatma present in the hearts of different living entities is stressed in order to establish the all-pervasive nature of the Supreme Lord. means he's in everyone's heart. So it's the same person. That's because he's all pervading. That's how he does that. So, yeah.
According to this description, everybody in the universe basically worships, you know, one of the three Purushas, including, you know, Vaishnava Sampradayas.
Yes, yes. And even the materialists, because they worship the material elements, they worship the senses.
Yeah.
They worship nature, you know, which will be forms of that, the living entities. So, yeah.
So Krishna's worship is rare.
Yes, yes. That's why it's very rare. And people who understand this, that's rare. And then of those who worship Krishna, then that's also rare. So that's why it's something so special, it's never been given like that. Because this aspect of Braja Krishna, it's not appreciated that it's a specific mood. It means it's his original mood. And all these others are because of the flavor desire of the devotees. You know, they like the sweetness, but at the same time they don't like any difficulty. So then you have Vrindavan pastimes without the difficulty of separation. So it's just like for us, the Radha and Krishna will be at their homes, then they go out, then they come back, and this and that. But for some, they just are in the different kunjas all day, different times in different kunjas. So the kunjas themselves even have specific names because they become so prominent for them. Like for us, I haven't, so far, haven't come across a name of a kunja. Sometimes some trees will, you know, Vamsibhat, Sringarvat, like this will be there. But the specific kunjas won't have names. But you see some groups of Vaishnava, they actually have names. Because that's the thing for them. That's the place for them. So for us, it's Vrindavan. That's the whole. So.
I think this is the main difference explained in Brahma Samhita. What is the Mantramaya Upasana and Svarasiki Upasana? And Mantramaya is you install Radha and Krishna in a certain place and meditate on that particular pastime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty much static.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then Svarasiki, which is only Gaudiya, it's a dynamic pastime. So,
yes.
So some verses in Brahma Samhita explain Svarasiki, and some, most of it, explain Mantramaya Upasana, which is it's very elevated level, but it's not the same as a Svarasiki Upasana.
Yeah. Yeah, subtle things. Okay. Anucheda 2. The qualification for seeing Paramatma should be understood to be bhakti. As previously mentioned, there are three types of appearance, as explained in Narada Tantra. Vishnos tu trini rupani purusha kyanyato vidhu pratamam mahatas srashtri dvitiyam twanda samstitam tritiyam sarvabhutastam tani gyatva vimuchate. The wise know that the Purusha consists of three forms of the original Vishnu. The first is the creator of the Mahatattva. The second is situated within the universe. The third is situated within each living entity. Knowing these three, one becomes liberated.
I'm thinking today is a very appropriate day to study about Paramatma, because I think on this particular Ekadashi, Vishnu bakes up.
Yes, yes. It's the, what do you call it?
Mm-hmm.
Utana Ekadashi, yeah. Yeah, the resting is the Shayan Ekadashi. The Utana. Yeah, so you see, because at the end of the month, that's when you have the day will start. No, excuse me. No, that starts at the Sankranti.
Yeah, Sankranti.
So this will be now the Brahma Muhurta for the demigods.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So see, even they get up early, and they're demigods, right? Yeah. The first form is the single witness of the Jiva and Prakriti when they come together in the totality of all universes. This form is described in Yatagne Kshudra Vish Fulinga Vyu Charanti, as small sparks emanate from a fire, and Saikshata, he glanced. He is called Sankarsana or Mahavishnu. Brahma Samhita explains this. Yata Talingam Bhagavan Sambhur Jyoti Rupa Sanatanaha. The Lord's eternal form called Shambhu, whose body is consciousness, is an expansion of Krishna. Tasmin Avir Rabhu Linge Mahavishnur Mahatpatihi. Having appeared with an indistinct form, Mahavishnu then appeared with a distinct form as the master of all living entities in the universe. Here's the form as described in Brahma Samhita, starting with the words Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha. Narayana Sabhagavan Apas Tasmad Sanatanat. Avirasit Karanarno Nidhi Sankarshanatmakaha. Yoga Nidram Gatas Tasmin Sahasramshas Swayam Mahan. The Supreme Lord is called Narayana because the waters of the Karna ocean arise from his eternal form. Narayana is non-different from Shankarsana. This Mahavishnu lies in Yoga Nidra in this ocean. Countless avatars reside in him. Brahma Samhita 5.12. Tad Roma Bhila Jaleshu Bijam Sankarsanasya Cha Haimanyandani Jatani Mahabhuta Fritani Tu. The Jivas, in combination with Prakriti, had been resting within the hair holes of Sankarsana, Mahavishnu. The Jivas and Prakriti take the form of golden eggs, the primitive forms of universes. Covered with the five great elements before the elements combine. Brahma Samhita 5.13. Shambhu, meaning parent, is a special amsa, linga of Lord Govinda, expressed in Yasya Yutai Yutam Sham She Vishva Shaktir Iyam Stita. Vishnu Purana 1.953, quoted above. Since Govinda manifests the Purusha forms, the expansion is called Linga, or special expansion. The second Purusha is the Antaryami of all Jivas in a particular universe. Tad Shrishtva Tad Evanu Prashvishat. Having created the universe, the Lord entered into it. Taittiriya Upanishad 262. Look at the number you see in the middle, six, and because that's the one that stood out. Then I said six. Then I said, no, it's two. Then I noticed there's a two at the end. Two and two is four. Then you say four. Yeah. There are many forms of these souls of the universe. Since there are many universes, sometimes the subtle Antaryami is called Prajumna, and the gross form is called Aniruddha. These forms related to creation are amshas of the forms of Sankarsana, Prajumna, and Aniruddha, situated in Mahavaikuntha. Right, so, originally in Mahavaikuntha, then you have the original Sankarsana, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. So, these will be amshas of that. And the forms which act as the presiding deities of Chitta, Ahankara, intelligence, and mind, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Prajumna, and Aruda, are also amshas of the Vaikuntha forms. Okay, so then that would be, if we're putting it in that way, then Vasudeva is Chitta, the consciousness. You know, the overall, how you're perceiving everything.
Kapil Gita confirms it, says the same.
Okay. The third Purusha, the Antaryam, so Shambhu, he's the parent. Right? So Mahavishnu, he's Shambhu, he's the parent. And from him we see comes then that particular feature that then deals with taking care of the living entities in the universe. Right? So then you'll Sadashiva, and then his expansion is Shambhu. But the original parent is Krishna. Right, so that's like Madhvacharya says, any of the names of the demigods, they're originally from Krishna, because he's the one who they come from.
Maharaj, yes, you said that Shambhu is a special amsha of Govinda.
Yes.
It means that he's non-different from Govinda.
It means any of the Vishnu Tattva are non-different from Govinda. They're all non-different from Govinda.
But is it Vishnu Tattva or Shiva Tattva?
He Vishnu Tattva. Because here, Shambhu, meaning parent, means Karana Daksha Vishnu. Right? It means that Shiva has the name Shambhu because he takes care of Maya. You know, and so therefore all living entities and their forms are coming from Shiva and Durga. So in that way he's parent. But where does that potency of being parent come from? That comes from Mahavishnu. Does that make sense? That's what we mean by Madhvacharyas. You know, if you say Indra, it actually means Krishna. Because that potency is there in the office of Indra. And so therefore Indra taking up those duties, he's called that. You know, it's just like you have a guy, he's on the street. Then he gets elected to the post. So he becomes prime minister. So it's not that he's the prime minister. The post is the prime minister. And he happens to be occupying the post at this time. But the potency of prime minister comes from the government, not from him. Like that. So it's just a matter of understand when these words, they seem to, you know, how it's having that aspect. It's not because it's all coming from Krishna. So he has that special that aspect, lingas, I don't remember it, but it was described in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, that there's a feature of Krishna which means he deals with the material creation, the material, you know, with the external energy. Mm-hmm. So Krishna doesn't have that, manifest that quality. Balaram, it's there. You'll see it's there in its seed form. Mm-hmm. But it's only manifest when you get to Sankarshan. Mm-hmm. So it's that from that point, then you have that. Mm-hmm. Krishna himself doesn't deal with it. Mm-hmm. Just like Radharani doesn't deal with it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So as Krishna expands as Baladev, she has Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya is what transforms. He does just like Balaram. Then from him, then the transformation. Then you get Sankarshan. Does that make sense? The third Purusha, the Antaryami of the individual Jiva, is described as follows. Dva Suparna Sayuja Shakyaya Samanam Vriksham Prai Shasvajate Tayor anyaf pipalam svadatyanan svad vat yanash shnan nanyo bi chaksha siti. Yeah. They're all separate words, but because of the graph, they're all connected. Two beautiful birds associate in the same tree as friends. Of the two, one relishes eating the fruit, the other, not eating, shines. Mundaku Upanishad 3.1.1. Right? He shines because he's transcendental. He has many forms since there are many jivas. Udriti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura elaborates this in Jiva Dharma. Vrajana. Later, I would like to delve more deeply into that topic. However, for now, kindly tell me how Paramatma, the universal progenitor, is a partial expansion of the Supreme Godhead.
I think for us it's enough. I was thinking for us it's quite enough. For now, we don't need to delve into more.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But it said it's just by hearing we get purified, whether we understand or not. Because that's the thing, is that Shravana means you hear.
Yes.
That is so, and the main point is if there's no doubts, then everything goes very nicely. Otherwise, you remove the doubts. Then in applying it, you'll understand it. Right? And then by that continued application, then you'll realize it. You know? So, we just hear, then it's nice. Raghunath Das Babaji. The Supreme Lord conducts the work of creation of this material cosmos through the agency of his two potencies, opulence and power. He then enters his creation in the form of his partial expansion. Sri Vishnu, notwithstanding, remains the complete whole in all respects, as substantiated in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 5.1. Opulence and power. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is perfectly complete, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as a complete whole. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. And because he is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Right, so you have the same thing also in the Ishvarupanishad. Yeah, because these you have five... what are they called? Five invocatory Shanti mantras. So Om Purnama Dath Purnama, that's one of them. So all the Upanishads are going to start with one of these five. So it's not a strange thing that Brihadaranyaka Ishvarupanishad start with the same one. Because there's five of them. They all start with one of those. Taittiriya Upanishad starts with a different one. Yeah, Sam no mitra sam banunahadam.
So now you can say that the invocation is not part of the book. It's before.
No, it's not part of the book, meaning that it's not counted as the shlokas. So if you say the book has 100 shlokas, the invocation's separate from that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is that particular invocation is there because that's going to set the you know, what the book is based on. So that's why Upanishads use these. So they're establishing transcendence. Does that make sense? So they'll always start with this.
Like Mangalacharan?
They're like Mangalacharan. But it doesn't mean that then it itself won't have. Like you'll generally see when they go into the first ones, then they'll have because here they put 5.1. But technically, this will be five invocations. Also, different chapters will have different, may have different invocations. Like that. Yes. Therefore, Sri Vishnu, pervading and controlling this material world, is the Paramatma and supreme progenitor. He manifests himself in three forms, Karanodakshay Vishnu, Kirudakshay Vishnu, and Garbhodakshay Vishnu. The limitless watery expanse that separates the spiritual world from the material universe is known as the Karana Samudra, the causal ocean. It is also called the Viraja, right? Because that's why you also have the causal body. Because when you come this side, you have the causal body, which is, I am the controller and enjoyer.
Yes.
Right? You know, the Karana Sharir.
Yes.
Right? So then only when you give that up, then you can go to the spiritual planets. The form of Vishnu situated within this ocean is the Karana Dakshay Vishnu. Sri Mahavishnu. He lies within the Karana Samudra and glances at Maya, his energy, and thus brings the material world into existence. I mentioned before is that that glance then carries the jivas. Right? No? The potency of Sri Mahavishnu manifests in his glance, which impregnates and pervades the entire material nature and is personified in the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he's the personification of the glance. The entire mass of conditioned jivas, who are infinitesimal parts and parcels of Sri Mahavishnu, are also produced by his transcendental glance, the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu accepts the minuscule size of a thumb, or even smaller, and enters the heart of every jiva as Paramatma. In this form, he is known as Kiradakshaya Vishnu, who is thus a partial expansion of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Both the jiva soul and the Paramatma, the latter also known as Hiranyagarbha, resides simultaneously within the heart of the material body of the jiva, like two birds upon the same branch of a tree. The bird representing Paramatma bestows upon the other bird, the jiva, the fruits of his labor. In this way, the jiva tastes the results of his formative material actions. In this matter, the partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Paramatma, manifests himself within the material universe as the universal father and maintainer with but a fragment of his unlimited energy. Jivadharma, chapter 13. The manifestation of the first Purusha is described as follows. Yes?
Maharaj, you already said that Paramatma is also known as Hiranyagarbha.
Yes.
So
the Hiranyagarbha Shukta is about Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. There's a shukta about Hiranyagarbha. About Garbhodakshaya. Like you have Purusha Shukta.
Yes.
You know, it's just... Yeah, so this is talking about Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
Okay. Yes.
He's also known as Hiranyagarbha. And then from him comes Brahma, who's also known as Hiranyagarbha.
Yes.
And Mahavishnu, in the form of where he glances, is known as Hiranyagarbha.
Okay.
And then the eggs that are there, that are floating on the causal ocean, the golden eggs of the universes, they're also known as Hiranyagarbha. Because it's all the same principle of that creation, like that, you know. So then the Lord is glancing. So even that glance, that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But there's an aspect that then that takes care of the destruction. So that would be Shambhu. You know, that takes care of the false ego and all that. But otherwise, he's the origin of everything. So it's all him. Does that make sense? Because it said Mahavishnu, I think Brahma Samhita, that his right arm is Shambhu, his left arm is Hiranyagarbha. So then that's how everything goes on. Right? Based on the creation, then you have the false ego that the living entity then functions by. So it's all Mahavishnu. It's just different aspects of it. So it's all him in these different aspects.
Can you say it is the same like a different level? Or different...
Different level, but different aspects, what is there. Because the point is, everything being Krishna, what the point is because he's individually conscious, then everything else is also individually conscious. He says, his own Purnamada, because he's perfectly complete, all emanations from him are perfectly complete. So, the point is that all being transcendental, but it all has its uniqueness, and that's how everything functions. Like, we don't have a problem saying, okay, everything comes from material energy. But there's all the variety, and we interact with all the variety that's there. Right? But the point is, but it's all coming from Krishna. So therefore one interacts with Krishna. It's just understanding more. You know, because here we just interact with the stuff that's here. We know it goes back, but we're not dealing with the source. But the transcendentalists, then they deal with the source. The manifestation of the first Purusha is described as follows. Mahavishnu, an expansion of the Lord of Vaikuntha, is time, swabhava, effect, and cause. Mahatattva, the five gross elements, false ego, the three gunas, the senses, the universal form, the totality of jivas, the individual jivas as non-moving and moving beings, all of these are related to the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42. So all these different aspects, when he's focusing on a certain aspect, then he may be called by that name. Means Mahavishnu is what all the jivas come from him, as the totality of jivas. Yes. They come from him. And then when they're placed in individual forms, whether they're moving or non-moving, they're still coming from him.
Yes.
So that means time, swabhava, effect, cause, mahatattva, all these things are coming from him. They're non-different from him. That's what creation means. It all comes from him. When he breathes out, all these things come out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the point, is that everything's transcendental, but it still has its uniqueness, its variety. That's the whole point. That's the uniqueness of Krishna as a person, is that he's the source of everything. So therefore, then, everything has that personal aspect, that personal interrelations and personal dealings. Does that make sense? So, we deal with everything in that way, because that's what's natural for us. You know, we come up with these strange philosophies, but in these strange philosophies, the Maya bodies are still going to programs, being respected, sitting on big seats, getting garlands, being given, you know, respect and donations and worship, and all these personal things they're still doing, even though it's all one and they don't care about this. Because if they actually didn't, why are they here? Why aren't they in the Himalayas? You know, sitting under a tree or in a cave somewhere, and so where none of this is going on. But they're quite happy to sit in these places. And what would happen if he came in and nobody cared? There's a big program going on, all the people are there, and this and that. He walks in, nobody even notices. He sits on the stage like that. They keep talking and this and that. He'd get very upset. But if it's all illusion, it's all that, what does it matter?
He'll become a Buddhist.
Sorry?
He'll become a Buddhist.
Yeah, he might become a Buddhist. Yeah.
They answer, this is a better way to break illusion.
Better way to break illusion, but the point is you're breaking illusion with illusion. But then, if it doesn't exist, how can you get rid of something that doesn't exist with something that doesn't exist? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. They say all these things. In other words, they've said we have to remember, they've been around for what? How many years? 1,200?
More. 1,200 is when Shankaracharya came. Even before that.
Okay. But I mean, so even that. But yeah, before. So they've been around for a long time. So people ask them questions like this. And they say an answer. It doesn't work. They think about it. They get another answer. It doesn't work. Then after some time, you know, after some time, someone comes up with something that does work. And now everybody uses that, you know. So it's just, these are things there. They just parrot. They don't know what they're doing. So they're all related to the Supreme Lord. He is these things because these are all expanding from him and they're all related to him. So if you see this, time, the nature, cause and effect, the Mahatattva, five gross elements, false ego, three guna senses, the universal form, totality of jivas, individual jivas, non-moving and moving beings, you see them all related to the Lord, then you actually see. And so when you see it separate from the Lord, that's where the problem comes.
But now if we see related to the Lord, automatically the next step is to develop a relationship with
him. Yes, to develop a relationship with the Lord. Mm. Because the point is he's the cause. Means, in other words, we're attracted by all these things.
Yes.
But if he's the source of this, then naturally we would be attracted to him.
Yes.
Right? The Lord is he expands all these things. Therefore, all the control of all that is him. That's Paramatma,
right?
But for him, the pleasure is when the living entities are attracted to him as a person, and they interact based on that platform. So it's Bhagavan. That's for him is the pleasure. The instigator of Prakriti, Purusha, is an expansion of the Lord, Parasya. He who was described as having 1,000 heads is the pastime form of the Lord. He is the first avatar in the material world, Adyo Vataraha. Here and elsewhere, the word avatara refers to the Lord appearing within the material realm, which is known as Ekapada Vibhuti. The above verse was spoken by Brahma to Narada. Vriti, having elaborated on the appearance of the first Purusha, Mahavishnu, the next Anucheda expounds on the appearance of the second Purusha, Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Anucheda 3. The second Purusha is described as follows. By his practice of meditation on the Lord for 100 human years, Brahma attained realization of the Lord. He saw the Lord who manifested himself in his heart, who could not be seen previously by searching. He saw the Lord, he saw the one Lord sleeping on the broad bed of Sesha, white like a water lily, floating upon the waters of devastation. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.22. This Purusha with 1,000 heads is situated on the Garbhodak ocean. He is Prajumna. Purusha, Yusha, means for 100 years. Brahma performed Bhakti Yoga for 100 years. As a sandalwood tree is decorated with fragrant flowers and branches, the Lord's body is decorated with valuable jewels and pearls. As the sandalwood tree spreads its branches everywhere, the Lord spreads his arms over the universe. As the tree's roots cannot be seen, the Lord has pradan beneath him, avyakti mulam. As the sandalwood tree is the king of trees, the Lord protects the world by his great power. He controls Indram, the 14 worlds which are his feet. As the sandalwood tree is covered with many snakes, so the Lord's shoulders were touched by the hoods of Ananta. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.29. In the West, in that, when they use these machines on wood, is it the practice that the machine will start off fast and then you move it into the wood and it'll slow down a little bit, but you never do it so much that it slows right down?
It depends on the machine. There are some machines like that.
These are like here, so it starts up high and then it goes down, and then you do it at a regular level. But these guys push it so hard, it just, and then they pull it back and do it again.
Yeah.
But normally you just take it in a steady way, just go all the way through, no?
Yeah, there's automatic machine which does what you described. But normal, like primitive or cheap machine is exactly the same like that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
okay.
This
is like 50 years old knowledge.
Oh, okay.
But now they start and according to the resistance and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But they do it in their workshops, not in the middle of the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's called noise pollution. Which doesn't exist in India, but... I mean, it exists, but
it exists.
Nobody
cares. No. And that if they could, then they'd be smoking a beedi at the same time, right?
And listening to music.
Yeah, and listening to music at overly loud, because they can't hear it because of the machine.
Conspicuous for its absence.
Sorry?
Conspicuous
for its absence. Yeah, yeah. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The word avyakta mulam is significant here. Generally, no one can see the roots of a tree. But as far as the Lord is concerned, he is the root of himself. because there's no other separate cause of his standing but he himself. In the Vedas it is said that the Lord is Svashraya Shraya. He is his own support, and there is no other support for him. Therefore, Avyakta means the Supreme Lord himself and no one else. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.29 purport. So when we mentioned about the Avyakta, when he glances, the 24 elements separate. But then the point is they're all separated. So for them to hold together, then the Lord himself is the cause of that. Therefore, it's called Avyakta. So Avyakta is where the Lord enters all the different atoms so that they can go together, so that you can produce things from them.
So is it a position between Pradhan and Mahatattva?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So generally they just talk about Pradhan and Mahatattva.
Yes.
But if you want to be technical, then they do that. But you can also say Avyakta, meaning the unmanifest. In one sense, Mahatattva and Pradhan, they're all unmanifest, because it's within the universe that you see the form. Before that's only the primary. So technically that's not manifest as such. It's subtle. Does that make sense? So sometimes you just hear them talk about Avyakta. Or Mahatattva and Avyakta. So when we think of Pradhan, we think of Pradhan made of the 24 elements. So you would take the original state and the next state and just put together, because we don't think of it as a complete kichuri. When you think of Pradhan, we think the source of all the elements. So that source of all the elements, that's Avyakta. Does that make sense? So you can put the two together. Or, you see, as in one of the explanations, then it brought out that particular point. That it was there, and then those primordial demigods, they can't do the primary creation, because without the Lord has to enter it. So they have nothing else but the Lord. Right? So sacrificing the Lord, then everything expands. But in between that, you have all the elements there, but they can't do anything with it, and then when he enters it, then they can do it. So it's a finer point.
Yeah, so just to clarify, that Pradhan is undifferentiated.
Yes, all the 24 elements are all mixed up.
Just one entity.
Yes.
And then Mahat, it is already in the form of 24 elements.
24 elements, but it also includes all the forms, the three modes of nature, the false ego, everything like that.
And then Avyakta is still undifferentiated, but with the potency of how you call it? Is it
creation?
Not creation, but
they can
relate.
Yes, it means the 24 elements are completely separated, but it's just like if you have unlimited, let's say, earth atoms. But they're not. You can't connect them together. How do you do anything? It'd be like, let's say, when you have those, when you get packing those little styrofoam balls.
Yes.
You can't do anything with them. You push, they just fall apart. It's like that. So that's what when you first glance at Pradhan, it comes out. That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Then Krishna will enter into into that. And so into the earth, into the water, fire. Then now you can put them together into things. And so then the demigods, it'll be put together and you'll get the Mahatattva. Mm-hmm. Then that will be then represented in each universe with Garbhodakshay Vishnu, the thousand-headed Vishnu. So that's why it's Haranyagarbha, because the universal form is that. So the universal form is a partial form of that unlimited Mahatattva. That's just how much is required in this universe. So the 8,400,000 species, the blueprints there in the primary creation. Right? So that will be within the universe, this universe, and controlled by Garbhodakshay Vishnu. Then it will be, then Brahma will make the specific forms from that, manifest them, and then Jivas will be put inside that. And then Garbhodakshay Vishnu will be within that form. Right? So as you know, so I could say as the Mahatattva, these cosmic aspects are there, it'll be universal in the universe, and then it'll be localized in the particular body of the living entity. So you have three features of the same thing. So that's why you can see is that you have earth, wire, fire, air, and ether, and then you have Mahatattva, you know, or mind, Mahatattva, however they want to put it together. But it always goes back to that because that's what's there. Your body functions based on those principles of the Mahatattva. You know, your arm's working, it's the same thing. So all universe, every living entity here is the same. Every universe is the same. Because it's working on the same metaphysical principles. Does that make sense? So the metaphysical is established in that primary creation, in the Mahatattva. So you can say the Mahat is that Krishna's entered it so that attractiveness, so you can do something with it, but it's not made into anything yet. So that's why you could say it's unmanifest, but it's separated into 24 elements. Well, Pradhan will be unmanifest and the 24 elements aren't separated. They're homogeneous. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just like a stage just before doing something.
Mm-hmm. It's a raw material, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
With the clemency to create forms.
Yes, yeah. So the means the avyakta.
No,
or pradhan. Yeah.
The Mahatattva.
Yes. So it's so from that level then they'll, you know, all those forms, all those things, everything is there because that's what they work with. So all this is, I mean, it's so detailed and all that, and it goes on and on, you know, so it would take days and days and days to explain it. But for Mahavishnu, this happens in 3/4 of a second. That's creation, maintenance, and destruction. Yeah, so that's the fun part.
I can say he has not even time to think.
Well, that's why he's yoga nidra. He's sleeping. He doesn't need to think. It's so for him, it's so small time. Avyakta Mulam in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.29 means he had Pradhan beneath him. You haven't heard that? He's so good at it, he could do it in his sleep. You don't have a saying like that?
Yeah.
So he's so good at it, he can do it in his sleep. That's the thing.
Because usually when person is more active,
yeah,
his reason is faster.
Okay.
So that would be even faster than that if he would be active. So 3/4, it's like it's very relaxed.
Really. Yes, pleasant. So, yeah. So he no sweat, right? You know, like that. Avyakta Mulam in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.8.29 means he had Pradhan beneath him. He controls Indram, the 14 worlds which are protected by his feet. Bhuvanangri paha. This description is from a conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. And I think that other one we were discussing before, that's also Maitreya and Vidura. I think that's the most detailed of the creation discussions. No? Third canto. There's 3.8.29.
Oh, yeah.
Because there he has to describe how it connects to the Supreme Lord.
Yes, because that was the whole point. Is that Vidura has made the point that I've heard about creation, but now can you explain how it connects to the Lord? So that's why then he shows the steps like that. Otherwise, you just say the Lord breathed out, and then here we are. Haribao. Yeah. Okay, Vriti, having elaborated... Oh, no, that's going to be the next. Oh, yeah. Having elaborated on the appearance of the second Purusha, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, the next Anucheda expounds on the appearance of the third Purusha, Kirodaksha Vishnu. Even gets shorter. Then the Jivas. I can't read it, because it's 1/10,000th the tip of that. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.